Okay, you're all very welcome to March's Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are switched off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will also be audio and video recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure that if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you should unmute your microphone or speak or click into the button of the delegate microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and AS if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or a seconder. This should be done using the instant messenger feature. Please do not submit until you're asked to do so or it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through the instant messenger will become the proposer and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate this via the instant messaging feature so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Thank you, folks, for that. Okay, I know I have apologies here from Councillor Stokes and from Councillor Carr tonight. Just for any of you that aren't aware, I'd just like to let you know that unfortunately Councillor Clark's mother passed away yesterday. I'm sure you all will join me in extending our deepest sympathies to our colleague Willie on the sad passing of his mother. May she rest in peace. Terry, you looking in there?
Thank you very much, and on behalf of the SLP group and on the committee, we'd like to take this opportunity of offering our sincere sympathy and heartfelt condolences to Councillor Willie Clark and to his family, and to assure them that they're very much in our thoughts and prayers at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry, for that. Okay, so with no other apologies, we can move on then to item two. Your comments are noted. Our comments are noted. Comment, or Councillor McMurray. Sorry, reading and talking at the same time. Okay, item two is declarations of interest.
None, Chair.
Okay, so moving on then to item number three, which is the action sheet from the ERT meeting of 14th of February 2022. So we'll go through it page by page. Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. And page six. Okay, can I have somebody propose and second that, please? Proposed by Councillor Mulgrew, seconded by Councillor Andrews. Okay, thank you. Any matters arising from it? No, okay, happy to move on. Okay, item number four, which is the notice of motion regarding animal welfare, and that was submitted by yourself, Councillor Brown. Councillor Brown on. Yep. Councillor Brown, would you like to speak on your motion there? Go ahead.
Yeah, Chair, can you hear me okay there? Just it's coming through a bit for you in my end.
Yeah, I can hear you okay. Go ahead, Patrick.
No problem. Grand. I've moved house recently. I'm just connected to a dongle here, so I don't know how good the internet will be, but let me know if it cuts out. Thank you, Chair. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at the officer's report there. I do appreciate that the officer's taking the time to do that report, and particularly Collie Jackson for pulling it together and giving me a heads up on it and discussing it with me recently ahead of tonight. But it'll probably come as no surprise to members that I am not in support of its conclusions. Whilst I do appreciate that there are existing bodies set up to discuss animal welfare issues both locally and across Northern Ireland, I believe there are key aspects related to animal welfare that are not covered in the current setup of the likes of the Paws for Thought and the Northern Ireland Dog Advisory Group. Main issues lacking from those groups is no elected member representation, no or very little community voluntary representation or buy-in, and also that they do not set enough of a strategic direction for how we can do more as a council around animal welfare. They're largely based on responding and reporting back on animal welfare issues. Ultimately, my reason for bringing this motion is the same, actually, as my reasoning for bringing or lobbying for a climate change and sustainability forum a number of years ago in the last term of council. Much like climate change and sustainability, I believe that animal welfare should not just be an operational issue for council, but one that needs strategic input and oversight from elected members. The massive public interest in tackling animal abuse, and particularly the huge increase in puppy farming and illegal breeding over the last couple of years in particular, and a lot of that relates to cross-border trade to GB, given Northern Ireland's less regulated market and so on. But all of these factors, the increased public interest around that, really makes this more of a more than an operational issue for council. The Animal Welfare Act of 2011 passed responsibility for most animal welfare, particularly relating to animals typically kept as pets, to local councils. Appreciate there's also much responsibility for wild and farm animals left with PSNI and DERA. It's my view that since then councils have done their best to fulfil this statutory obligation. But that the structures and funding in place to support them in fulfilling it are inadequate. The fact that councils must work within a finite budget set by DERA actually disincentivizes removing animals from unsuitable conditions or from abusive owners because of the potentially costly legal and veterinary costs associated with doing so. Animal welfare officers work on a cross-district basis, which as well as giving them just a huge area to cover, it also makes accountability to local councillors within any given district more difficult. We also have little to no capacity within the district, or indeed across districts, to proactively pursue potential welfare breaches. So, for example, one thing I feel we should be doing is doing like spot checks or mystery shopping checks with online pet sellers on the likes of Gumtree and so on, where a lot of illegal breeding unfortunately goes on. I know I've been contacted by many constituents and representatives from welfare charities about animal welfare cases in the district and concerns that these cases have not been fully investigated or looked into as much as they perhaps could have been. Now, this is not to get at animal welfare officers or the dog warden, who in all my dealings with them have always been very quick to respond, very helpful on dealing with issues. But my main concern is that they are not adequately resourced and supported to sufficiently fulfil the council's statutory responsibility around animal welfare, and indeed what the public's expectation of this role is. That is why I believe that a forum with political and community voluntary input can be helpful and improve animal welfare outcomes in our district. Together, I believe that we as elected members can work with officers and community voluntary and other statutory stakeholders to lobby as a collective for things like increased funding from DERA, to develop a plan to proactively identify and pursue illegal and unethical breeders, to better respond to information around animal abuse in the area, you know, flagging up information from constituents, from community voluntary groups. To continue the partnership work being done to reduce dog euthanasia figures in the district, and that's some work this council has already done and a motion that I brought not too long ago. And indeed lobby on wider legislative changes as well, such as tougher sentencing and an abuser's register, something that this council has also expressed support for in the past. So I believe basically as a collective and having this strategic direction, this input from elected members, we can you know, collectively bring our voice and improve animal welfare outcomes, and I hope that members will join me in not accepting the officer's recommendation and supporting the establishment of this animal welfare forum.
Chair, you can be in the list. Sorry, I'm going to just ask. My own computer. I'm going to ask Colm Jackson to come in and speak in this first, if that's okay. Thank you. But noted, Councillor McGree.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm fully supportive of the initiatives and concerns raised by Councillor Brown in relation to all animal welfare issues. However, I just need to inform the committee that we have already two forums set up to deal with puppy farming and all animal welfare cases. The first one is in relation to the NIDAC forum, which is a multi-agency forum made up of representatives of all 11 councils. Our head of service for licensing sits on that forum, as well as the PSNI, the Port Authority, Animal Welfare, DERA, and as I say, our councils. They meet quarterly, and there's formal minutes established. We have a data sharing agreement in place and share all data between all of those relevant stakeholders. It's chaired by Mid and East Antrim Council, and the policies and procedures are already established. And the basis of that is to review all cases and all animal welfare cases, and the exports through the ports. And then the second forum that's set up is the Pause for Thought, and that's made up of again of our head of service for licensing, PSNI, and animal welfare. And that was set up 3 years ago, and that was primarily to deal with the pre-Christmas advertising of the sale of pups for Christmas and for that Christmas market. So they meet to discuss local issues with puppy farming and basically all other animal welfare issues as well. They meet bi-monthly, and that is that group is chaired by the PSNI. And again, they have a data sharing agreement in place with NIDAC and that Pause for Thought forum. So in the last 6 months, the animal welfare officers have carried out 280 visits within our district, and we've issued 19 improvement notices. We've seized 6 animals, and within the last year, we've uncovered 6 puppy farms and recovered 30 pups. And those 30 pups have been handed over to the charities for rehoming. So we report all of those cases back to the ERT committee every 6 months, and there is a report coming in the April committee, and it'll touch on some of those cases. So it's, look, it's my understanding that we've already we have representation already locally through the Pause for Thought forum, and nationally through the NIDAC forum, and therefore I consider that we do have adequate provision in this area. So happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you for that, Colm. I'm going to let Councillor McGree and Councillor Savage, because she had indicated here in the chamber, if that's okay, and then I'll let yourself in. Councillor McMurray, because it's proposed and seconded at full committee, we don't need your proposal, but thanks for that. Councillor McGree, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, Chair. Sorry about that. For some reason, I'm not able to get on to the Teams chat, so thank you for giving me my place. Look, I mean, I think we are all appalled by the whole practice of puppy farms. Not only is it an absolute tragedy for the animals involved, I know of a number of families that in good faith bought pups for, especially for their children, and those dogs became unwell and subsequently died. And that's a horrendous situation for families to deal with. So I think we are all very, very mindful and aware of the difficulties. I'm not a great believer in, you know, setting up another group, or committee just for the sake of it. But I do take on board Councillor Brown's, comments about there being no councillor representation. And would it be possible that we could actually look at the bi-monthly pause for thought, having a councillor representative to attend those meetings? And perhaps that could be discussed at group leaders, but I think that would go a long way to keeping councillors involved as to what is happening. And I know, as Colly has said, there's a report comes back twice a year to the ERT committee. And maybe we could do more with regard to the reporting back to the councillors, you know, after those meetings take place. You know, what has been discussed, the number of cases perhaps within our area. And I also want to ask people to be very cautious here, because I myself have actually reported a couple of instances where, you know, people felt there was puppy farms in action, and there absolutely wasn't. And whether it was malicious reporting from neighbours or genuine concern, you know, you don't want to be labelling somebody as being, you know, doing something illegal if that is not the case. But I do think the sharing of information could perhaps be improved. So could I ask that we have councillor representation on the pause for thought, and also that we improve the reporting back to councillors after the NIDAC group as well, perhaps, if that would be possible, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Roisin. I see that Councillor Murray has come in with a seconder to that proposal. Councillor Brown, would you be happy to accept that?
Yeah, Chair, yeah, I think I did message Andy to say we'd be happy to take that compromise. I think the key thing here is that elected members get a say and are allowed to have strategic direction on this very important issue. So I do take Roisin's comments and accept her proposal there. The one thing I would say, though, is that we look at trying to have some way for local charities, animal shelters, the community voluntary sector to have a voice on the pause for thought as well, or an enhanced voice. I'm not sure what consultation has gone on with them already, but they are the ones that are really at the coalface of this. These are the ones that are going and picking up stray dogs and taking them home and taking them to the vets. You know, they are doing a huge amount of the work that under the legislation would normally fall to council, but I appreciate council's not able to be everywhere at once. So I think it's really important that they have a voice in that forum as well, and that we look at a way of doing that. But yes, definitely trying to get at least, I would say at least two elected representative members onto Pulse for Thought would be a good start.
Mine's working. There's a technical issue here, so maybe I'll just do a quick cabaret, will I, while we're waiting. Here. Is that one working?
Sorry about that, folks. I'm just having a wee bit of technical difficulties here in the chamber. So, listen, I'm going to let Councillor Savage in now, if that's okay. Councillor Savage, are you happy to go ahead there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm hearing myself. Back.
We can hear you okay here, Michael.
Okay. No, Chair, look, I don't think there's anybody in the chamber disagrees with the sentiment of the motion, and I thank Councillor Brown for bringing this and highlighting this issue. But again, you know, I would echo the sentiments of Councillor Mulgrew in that, you know, we do have structures there. Maybe the best thing to do is to get them working better for us. And I think that would, in my view, and I think the view of our own party, would underpin the need to deal with what is effectively an atrocious practice of puppy farming. I do also agree with Councillor Brown that we should look at whatever mechanism we can in the pause for thought to have those local charities involved. They do phenomenal work. They pick up a lot of the slack that can be left at times when you know, we all got to admit there's been an explosion in this trade, particularly over COVID, when families were looking at companions for children, etc., and went and bought pups that were acting in good faith as to where the source of those were coming from. So, you know, I believe that the current mechanism should be reporting back to council in a more sort of robust format, that we can, as councillors, have more insight collectively as to the work that's going on. And I know there is good work going on, but maybe we're hiding that light under the bushel, and we should be making sure that that's coming through to councillors. I believe there should be elected representation on the pause for thought, but I also believe, as I agree with Councillor Brennan, this, that we should be looking at engaging and having a presence there from the charity sector. So I agree with the sentiments of all that's been said, and I believe that the compromise that has been put forward is the way forward, Chair.
Thank you for that, Councillor Savage. Councillor Hannah, if you'd like to come in there.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just on what Paddy has said there, to be quite honest with you, I think puppy farming is one of the cruelest forms of any human individual there could do to an animal. I've seen these puppy farms, and they're pretty disgusting if you're in the middle of what's going on. What Roisin suggested is possibly a way forward. I don't honestly think we need very much more new forums set up, Paddy, I'll be quite honest with you. But what Roisin has said there, I think, is the way ahead. Just a question for Colin. With resources for this here, would the council put much resources towards this, investigating and that there, or is it a big burden on the council? And on the other two forums that are already set up and are functional at the minute, would they not pretty much take a six-county approach to trying to knock down these groups that have these puppy farms and the way they're organised, so they'd be moving these pups to Scotland or wherever? Would it not be them two groups here, more so that are the councils are already involved in, would be the way that a lot of this can be addressed the best, all the same? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Colm, are you okay if I let Councillor McMurray in, and then, or would you...
Sure, that's fine.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray, go ahead there.
Thank you, Chair. No, I suppose I just really want to second Councillor Mulgrew's compromise proposal, if you will, to make sure that gets over the line, and just on that sort of rehash what Councillor Brown's already so eloquently said. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Colm, would you like to come back in there on some of those things?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. You know, just to re-emphasise there, you know, over the last 6 months, there was 290 visits carried out by animal welfare officers in our district. And, in that, there was 19 improvement notices actually issued in our district, and there were six animals seized, and they're normally seized on the, if the animal welfare improvement notices haven't been adhered to, and in some cases it's too late, you know, so that the animal welfare officers will actually go out and lift whatever animal it is. But look, it has to be a multi-agency approach to this. You know, we have our dog wardens on the ground, we have the animal welfare officers. I know they're based in the Armagh district, but they do work throughout our district, and we work in tandem with them on a regular basis. But we also work very, very closely with PSNI, and there's a lot of sharing of information between the three organisations. And the three organisations actually carry out a lot of these visits, especially if they're going into areas that, you know, officers could be compromised or whatever. It's a multi-agency approach to it, and I think that is the best way forward. You know, looking back over 5-6 years ago, that did not happen. That pause for thought was set up over 3 years now, and it's shown to be very, very successful. The pups that have been lifted from these premises, these puppy farms, they have all been given to the animal, the charities for rehoming. But at the bottom line is, look, it's a practice that we do want to try and stamp out within the district, but as I say, it has to be a multi-agency approach to it.
Thank you, Colm. I'm just going to bring Conor Mallon in here.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just wanting to sort of provide some clarity around what it is we've agreed to, and I'll maybe read out some suggestions, and maybe Councillor Brown can confirm and Councillor McGrew can confirm that that's what the intention of the proposal is. So that councillors are invited to attend a pause for thought forum, and as part of their engagement, consider options for further consultation with charity groups through the forum. and ERT committee review the 6 monthly report from the licensing department and consider if further action is required.
Councillor Brown, are you happy with that?
I'm content with that, Chair.
Okay. All right. So everybody content with that? We happy to move on? Okay, that's great. Thanks very much for that, folks. Glenn, have you a question there?
Yeah, Chair. Just to be sure, is that for all councillors, or is it just for the particular councillors?
It will probably be two nominations, Glenn. Right. By party reps, okay?
All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if we're content, we'll move on then to item number 5, which is the update on the artisan market, and that's from Jonathan McGilley.
Chair, the report details our proposals, Chairman, around the development of artisan markets further.
Your mic's doing fine. Sorry, bear with us. We're just... I keep my finger... Just bear with us, folks, wee second.
Try these ones here. There's one.
Musical chairs.
Yeah, sorry, Chair. As members will know, through this committee, we've developed a series of artisan markets in Warren Point, in Downpatrick and Newcastle, Chair, and pilots have been carried out in Newry. We're now, as part of this paper, detailing the next steps. We are seeking recommendation that we now, after very successful pilots in Newry, that we continue with monthly artisan markets in Newry every second Sunday to be delivered through a service level agreement with Down Community Collective, and to approve the operation of 2 pilots in the Cross McGlen, in Cross McGlen Square during the spring and summer to a view to hopefully developing that further. An assessment has been detailed there across how we've arrived at that decision following discussions in the Sligoillean area. So, Chair, those are the recommendations. The cost would be £1,000 resource implication that's in the current year budgets for to develop this further in Newry, Chair.
Thank you for that, Jonathan. I have a proposal and a question here from Councillor Mulgrew. We should go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. Look, I mean, this is a fantastic step forward, and I think it's the way to go. You know, the artisan markets have been incredibly successful. I just want so for. You know, I'm being parochial here, you'll have to forgive me, but I just want to make sure that, you know, people from the Newry and South Armagh end can be content that the officers cast the net wide to make sure that everybody was given the opportunity to support and deliver these markets. And while I have do not doubt the capabilities of the Down Community Collective, maybe we could reassess it in a few months and see, you know, where it is, and perhaps there may be someone more local, such as Sligoillean or Newry, that may want to be on board. So if we could maybe just keep that in our back pocket, that we continue to look at it as we go through the year, but more than happy to propose. I think it's brilliant news, and I think it'll be very, very well received. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Roisin, for that. Do you want to come back in there, John?
So just to clarify, we did run an expression of interest in relation to the Newry event. In terms of the proposal for Cross McGlen, the pilots will be, we'll do those internally first, and then we'll do a similar exercise to express an interest for delivery agents. So that decision hasn't been made, but that will happen for in respect of Sligoillean.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. Councillor Hart, you're in there with a seconder and you want to make comment as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm happy to second that. It's just a quick comment. They're great to see the markets happening in Newry, especially Newry Market, because it's sort of dead at the minute. But the one problem I would have at the minute is people have contacted us. I know there have been great numbers have attended, but a lot of people have contacted us to say they didn't know they were on, because they didn't feel they had been publicised enough. So maybe if there was a way of publicising them better now that they are going to be something that is going to be happening every other Sunday.
Thank you, for that, Councillor Hart. Go ahead,
yep. Sure, we can take that on board and look at and improving the rates on that, sure, we look at that.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews, you want to make, you were looking to come second, you want to make a comment?
Yes, I do indeed. I do concur with the previous speakers. I think it's a good news story for Newry and for Slade Bullion and all. And the fact is, with the artisan markets sprouting up all over the place, you know, a lot of local producers, you know, local artists and all, it's a perfect forum and it's a perfect opportunity for them to come along. And as I said, we've been campaigning long enough for Stay Local and Shop Local. And with the artisan markets opening up, you have local farmers, local producers, and as I said, artists and different ones, you know, coming along. I think everybody's a winner, and it's good to see these expand. And maybe through time, you'll probably find that the other towns and villages across the district might be looking at the same. And again, it's fully endorsed the recommendations, and I'm only too happy to support the recommendations that's been laid out, and it's a good news story for all concerned. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor Byrne, would you like to make a quick question there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks for letting me in. Yeah, as Councillor McGrew said, I'll be parochial as well. Fantastic to see the pilot getting proposed for Cross Midland. Jonathan, I want to ask you one question. When you said that you want to go out for an expression of interest for a delivery agent for the markets, is that obviously a group to deliver after this pilot or for the first two pilots of the market to see if it's feasible for Cross Midland? Because there has been a group that was set up 2 years ago under a lady who has market trading license, and she has run the artisan markets for the last 2 years through COVID, obviously when restrictions have lifted. And there has been a spring fair, artisan fair, and a Christmas artisan fair, which were absolutely fantastic. I mean, there was 23 stalls at the Christmas one and 25 or 26 at the spring one. The one thing that they did say is that all the red tape and the forms, because I was helping with the forms and doing the insurance and stuff like that there, public liability was a pain in the head. So this would obviously be music to their ears. They'd love the council to have two markets, one in spring and one in summer or Christmas, that they could have all their stalls at. Could we work with that group in order for them maybe to put in an expression of interest to run the artisan markets going forward? And secondly, the pilot, and obviously there was two markets running Newry to see if it was feasible, to see if there was a take-up. Surely the four events that have been run over the last 2 years in Cross Midland were super successful, and it shows that it is feasible. Is there a need for a two-market pilot, or could we go ahead and just launch the artisan market? Because this will be the third year that it's happened, and great to get council support. And then just the question that I have, Chair, is the £1,400, that's obviously £700 across two markets. What is that? Is that just the covering of the stalls and stuff like that? Because traders were taking their own stalls in the last market. So I just wanted to get an idea of what the 1,400 covers. So an answer on, is there a need for a pilot? Because it is feasible. It's been running across Midland for the last 4 years. And what the 700 covers. And if we could look for a delivery agent with that group. Thanks, Chair.
Well, sure, we can look into that with the group in hand. Sure, the purpose of the pilot is to try to, I suppose, establish a list of market traders that would come to this on an ongoing basis and work through them. So I suppose the costs are involved with setting up, doing some of the market materials and the materials that are required to run the event, and the costs associated with that for a delivery agent. Sure, that would be delivered, that would be made available to the delivery agent to make those costs. But the pilots, we've done them internally ourselves just to make sure that they're feasible first. But we can work with the group that we can have a discussion with them to see how we could potentially take that forward.
Okay, thanks,
that's good. Cheers. Okay. Content to move on then. So that was proposed by Councillor McGrew and seconded by Councillor Hart. Thank you. Okay, item number 6 is the Down Business Centre database, and that's yourself then, Jonathan McGain.
Sure, this is a proposal that has been brought forward by Down Business Centre in partnership with Newry Moore Enterprise Agency to develop a database for businesses across the district. We do have a service level agreement with both organisations to deliver this sort of economic development activity, and the recommendation would be that we propose to, under the service level agreement that's currently in position and the costs associated will be covered under that budget, to develop the database for use for district-wide activity, pushing out information to businesses, and this will be kept all up to date by the two business centres on an ongoing basis, Chair.
Thank you for that, Jonathan. Councillor Burgess, you have a proposal in there. Would you like to make comment? Are you happy to propose?
Chair, I propose that we accept the officer's recommendation and we enter into the SLA with the business centre and to make the contribution of $8,800 towards the development and promotion of the maintenance of the business database. Because it's very important that, that we do help and support in any way, because there are a lot of businesses within our area that if people knew where it was, they could buy local. So, yep, the database is very much needed.
Thank you for that, Councillor Burgess. And Councillor Andrews, you're looking to second. You wish to make comment as well?
Thanks very much, Chair. I'm only too happy to second. And I think that the money that's been provided here is every penny. It's a pound well spent, and I think especially coming out of post-COVID, and you know, with getting out, there's going to be a lot of developments over the coming weeks, months, and possibly the next few years in relation to commerce and in the district. And I think that with the database and everything, it'll be a good way to get valuable information and news out to the businesses in our district and beyond. So I'm only too happy to second and support what the previous councillor has stated in relation to the paper. So happy to support the recommendations at the table tonight. Thank you.
That's great, Terry. Thank you. Okay, so we're content to move on then to item number 7, and that's yourself again, Jonathan.
Chair, as councillors will be aware, from 2019 we have been delivering now three tranches of small business rural development grants under the Tackling Rural Poverty and Social Isolation Programme. And the report details some information around the outputs from those three schemes. I suppose in broad terms, 137 businesses supported and just slightly over £400,000 of grant aid delivered to projects. So the key recommendation is that we've been made aware from the department their intention to run another programme, which will be not confirmed in writing yet, but in the region of around £125,000 additional funding. We're seeking approval to progress with the delivery of that programme as soon as the formal offer is put in place. There are a budget allocated for administration of the programme as well, which is detailed within the grant of 10%. Sure. So the recommendation is to proceed with delivery of the programme.
That's great. Thank you, Jonathan. Councillor Andrews, you're looking to propose and make comment?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. More or less, I'm glad to support the recommendations. And I know some of us in this committee have participated in and seen it firsthand, the excellent work that Mourne Goggin and the Lochiel Rural Development Partnership have done over the years, especially under the chairmanship of Councillor McGrew. And we've seen a lot of good work there. And what's been proposed in this paper is being mirrored, you know, and I think that it is worthwhile to get this scheme rolled out and made available for the people intended to apply for it, and delighted to propose and support, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Burgess?
Yes, Chair. I was sitting there for 125,000. Yes, Chair, I support the biggest speaker.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Burgess. Okay, if we're content, then we'll move on to item 8, which is Arts, Culture and Heritage Strategy, and that's Andy Patterson taking that one.
Microphone works, thankfully. Thank you, Chair. So the report seeking permission to update the delivery timelines of the Council's Arts, Culture and Heritage Strategy. The strategy was approved and launched in March 2020. Since that time, obviously, there's been very difficult hardship for the arts, culture and heritage sectors. So there's minor updates have been made to the strategy, and the actual timelines for delivery have changed as detailed in the paper. So we're seeking permission to change those dates and have a launch event in May.
Okay, Councillor Burgess, do you want to come in there? You've got a proposal in?
Yes, Chair. I propose that we accept the recommendation because the arts and culture has been on the back burner for over the last couple of years because of COVID. I was thinking of a proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. And Councillor Kern, you're looking to come in there in a second. You're muted there, Dermot. Just unmute yourself.
Right, yes, I'm the one to second that because we need to give that support to that whole project.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Kern. So that's proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Kern. Okay, thank you. So we're going to move on now to item number 9, which is, sorry, I haven't got an item number 9, so it's number 10, and it's an exempt item. Okay, so I need a proposer and a seconder. Thank you, Rishi, thank you, Terry. Okay. Items number 10, 11 and 12 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So Councillor Mulgrew has proposed and Councillor Andrews has seconded that we go into closed session. Okay, so whilst in closed session, the following items were agreed. Item 10, service level agreement, ranger services. On the proposal of Councillor McMurray, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed that the council enter into a service level agreement with Mourne Heritage Trust for the provision of ranger services for the 2022-23 financial year. Item number 11, Newcastle Harbour berthing provision. On the proposal of Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Hannah, it was agreed to approve the business case and undertake the necessary procurement exercises to install a fixed floating pontoon with gated access ramp to improve accessibility at Newcastle Harbour and enhance the aesthetics of the facility. Item number 12, update on the small settlement programme. On the proposal of Councillor Mulgrew and seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed 1. To accept the letter of offer and its terms and conditions and proceed with the relevant procurement processes, framework, appointments and supporting business cases. Approve 10% council match funding requirement to DFI, DERA and DFC and to submit finalised detail early in 2022 following engagement with DEAs. Okay, items number 13 to 17 are for noting only, and if you wish to raise something on these reports, please get in touch with the council official listed on the paper. If you're happy with that, we can. Councillor Savage, are you looking to come in?
Briefly.
Yeah, go ahead, Councillor Savage.
Can you hear me okay, Chair?
Yes, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, no, Chair, just really to pass on the congratulations to everyone, particularly the input from Newry Bid and others in relation to Newry retaining its purple flag status. I think it was a Herculean effort by everybody involved. I think it's crucially important for a nighttime economy in the city. And I know that the hospitality sector has really embraced this over the years. And I think it's great news that we've retained our status as a purple flag destination. And hopefully the nighttime economy will continue to flourish. And, you know, the sector really needs that after coming out of the pandemic. And hopefully the council can continue on Newry Bid and all of us work together to support the nighttime economy, not just in Newry, but right across the whole district. But my congratulations to everyone involved in what has been a very successful campaign again.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Councillor Savage. Councillor Gibbons, you're looking to make comment. What item number is it?
Well, it's just on any other business, Chair. I'm sorry to come at the very end. Is that okay?
Sorry, we don't have any other business on the ART. Is this something you can pick up with one of the
officers?
Well,
would be connected. Right, okay, Chair.
Go ahead. What was it in, I'm willing to listen to you, but what item is it, 13, 14, 15, 16 or 17, just for the items for noting?
No, Chair, it's not on any items. It was just to bring in, it was a subject relating to ERT and I wanted to just bring it up at the very end. It was 20 seconds, but you know what, it's okay, Chair. It's
okay. Contact, if you want to contact Conor Mallon directly, okay? Thank you.
Okay, Chair. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.